Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning, right in the middle of a back-to-back set as the Panthers will see the Carolina Hurricanes once again today. Only today's matchup is going to be at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, a 4 o'clock face-off, 3:30. We're on the air on the Panthers Radio Network, but we'd love to see our Hurricanes the second end of a back-to-back, meeting number two in a three-game season series, and of course the Panthers looking for a weekend sweep of Carolina. They picked up a 6-3 win against them yesterday, and we're going to go over that as well as the Panthers' victory from the night before Thanksgiving. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs back on Wednesday. We'll go through all that, relive some of that, get some reaction from it as well. Lots to get to here in our opening segment after Wednesday's win. So again, lots to get to as far as recapping a couple of victories. Panthers with wins over two Eastern Conference heavyweights, Toronto and Carolina, looking for another win against Carolina today. And again, if you're tuning in, if you can't make it, again, we'd love to see you there. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK as always to get your tickets. But if you can't get out there today, we'll have you covered across the Panthers radio network, beginning with pregame coverage at 3:30. We'll have it on 104.3 The Shark if you're tuned in Miami-Dade and Broward counties. So a programming note there. You can find us on 104.3 FM The Shark this afternoon. If you're tuned into the Palm Beaches, the usual spot, 12:30 The Gambler is your place to find us there. You can also find us on 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, find us today on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio Channel 91. So again, lots of different ways to find today's action. As always, you've got the radio button in the top right corner of your Panthers app. Hit that, you'll get us each and every game. Before we get into a recap, look at what lies ahead as far as the Panthers are concerned for the week. A quick reminder, you want to have the best Panthers gear and you want to get a jump on that holiday shopping. Panthers fans, go to Pantherland for your exclusive Panthers licensed merchandise, including one-of-a-kind gear, hockey-inspired fashion apparel, jerseys, and more. Shop now in-store or online at FLATeamShop.com. And of course, folks, your Panthers tickets for all the Panthers games, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK. In the meantime, jump on the wait list for season tickets, wait list for territory memberships for the first time in franchise history. Getting your spot in line, FloridaPanthers.com/waitlist is where to go. Again, Doug Plagans here with you. Dan Day on the other side of the glass as we cruise along. To the longtime play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco. He's going to stop by. We'll hear from him coming up in segment number two. And in segment number three, my friend and yours, Jameson Olive, will join us live to help set up today's action, talk about the week that was, and also today's game against the Carolina Hurricanes, folks. The Panthers will be in Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock Tuesday night, in Philadelphia, 7 o'clock Thursday night. Then it's right back to Amerant Bank Arena for a home game against the San Jose Sharks. It's going to be a week from today, Saturday at 6 p.m. So a week from today at 6, Panthers and the Sharks. San Jose's only trip to Sunrise this season, a chance to see the top pick in the draft, Macklin, Celebrini, and company. You don't want to miss that a week from today. But first and foremost, we hope to see it today at Amerant Bank Arena. It's going to be a 4 o'clock faceoff coming up this afternoon. We'll get into the week that was here in just a moment. A reminder, folks, you can take the next step in becoming the ultimate Panthers fan by joining the Panthers Kids Club. Kids 14 and under can become members for free and receive exclusive benefits, including free entries into monthly raffles, special offers, and more. Upgrade to an all-Panthers home game and other additional benefits. Go to floridapanthers.com/kidsclub to sign up today. Well, taking a look back at how the week went for the Panthers, they were on a little bit of a skid, but on Wednesday, they broke out of it in a big way. It was a matchup against a team the Panthers had a playoff history with, and that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Panthers took control of that one early and controlled it throughout. A 5-1 win for the Panthers, which at the time pulled them back to within 1 point of the division lead. That Atlantic Division lead was held by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Before we get into a little bit of reaction from it, tell you what it means, here are the highlights as they aired on 560 WQAM and the Panthers Radio Network.
47 seconds on the power play. Ekblad, a drive, tipped in front. Kachuk looking for it, and the Panthers keep control. They couldn't get a shot away. Now Ekblad across. One-timer, Barkov. He scores! A power play goal, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead. Behind the net, Sam Mascarenhas to the front of the goal. Down low, a chance, and then they score! Jesper Boqvist in the net. Sam Mascarenhas able to rifle it past Stolarz, and the Panthers have a 2-0 lead.
Tremendous start for the Panthers.
Now here along the near boards, it's William Nylander. Gives to Tavares, who looked to play it back for Nylander. Stolen away by Barkov. Up the right side, zooms to the net, dropped it back. Reinhardt shot, he scores! Sam Reinhardt, and he makes it 3-0. Panther, Sam Reinhardt, another shorthanded goal. It's dumped in by Rodriguez, down to our left and around the end boards. Here on the near side, it's Verhaeghe. A shot, he scores! Top shelf, Carter Verhaeghe. He beats him short side. It's a power play goal, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead. Puck bounces to Gus Forsling. Off the glass, got the clear. And then Marner couldn't hang on to it. Center Verhaeghe looks right. Bennett, a shot, and he scores on the empty net. Sam Bennett, a 5-1 Panthers lead, and that should officially put this one out of reach. Jesper Boqvist on him, pass out front, intercepted, Luos Dorinen there, he'll drag it to the boards, and he's going to hold it there for what he hopes was the rest of this one. Puck battled for, and now the final seconds will tick away. That's it for this one, the Panthers 5-1 winners over Toronto here tonight, and the Panthers get back to within 1 point of the division-leading Leafs in the Atlantic standings. So a big win on home ice for the Panthers tonight. A 5-1 final.
Well done all around.
A 5-1 win for the Panthers over Toronto back on Wednesday night. And that one snapped the Panthers out of a little bit of a skid there and got them back to within a point at the time of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Atlantic Division standings. The captain, Alexander Barkov, here. Some reaction from the win back on Wednesday. Here's what he had to say postgame.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, we've been kind of trying to find our identity back, and I think it all comes from the hard work and just being simple, being hard, being physical. That's our game, and I think we did that pretty well, especially in the first, and then just kept doing that and finished strong. Yeah, I mean, everybody in this room stepped up. I think starting yesterday, we knew we had to start playing better. We had to start competing better. We had to find our identity. Every single guy needs to know that one thing that he needs to do during the game. And I think every single guy in this room came with the right mindset to the game and did what needed to be done.
Alexander Barkov, Panthers captain right there. That was postgame following the Panthers 5-1 win over Toronto back on Wednesday. So the Panthers were able to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday coming off a win, but it wasn't much of a break. The Panthers hit the road right straight up on the road against the Carolina Hurricanes. One-game road trip up to Raleigh. Always a big test going into Lenovo Center. And, well, the Panthers, despite going back and forth with Carolina for the first couple of periods, took charge, ran away with it in the third period to the tune of a 6-3 victory yesterday over the Carolina Hurricanes, another one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. And as far as the big scoring outburst went yesterday, putting six on the board, here are the highlights as they aired on the Panthers Ready Network.
Now a battle for that loose puck. Gostisbehere swings it up the far side, and Jack Roslovic nudged it up the boards, unable to get a clear with Sean Walker for Carolina. High slot, a backhand try, and they score, and it's Jesper Boqvist. A backhand from out beyond the top of the far circle, and that one sneaks past Martin. The Panthers are on the board first. 17:34 to go in the opening frame. It's 1-0. Up the far side, Burns looked clear. Barkov kept it in. Reinhardt in front of shot. He scores! Sam Reinhardt had all kinds of time. Walked it to the front of the net, and he picked his spot and found it. The Panthers up one once again. 10:55 to go here in the opening frame. It's 2-1 Panthers, and Sam Reinhardt gets his 18th of the year. And then Ekblad on for Tkachuk, handed back for Verhaeghe, and he's got some room to go through center. Makes one man miss, got around Aho, top of the right circle, a shot, and he scores! And it's Carter Verhaeghe stretching the Panthers' lead to 3-1. He let it rip out of the right circle after a great individual effort to buy himself some time and space. Carter Verhaeghe let that shot go from the top of the circle, and the Panthers lead by a pair. Collision here in the near corner. Anton Lundell finds control of the puck, absorbs a check, got it up the boards to Kulikov, dumped inside the Carolina zone, rims around far side. Aho tipped it out to neutral ice. Back in go the Panthers. Across the line, A.J. Greer shot, and he scores! And the Panthers take a 4-3 lead. A.J. Greer cut in and just let one rip, and 4:58 into the third. The Panthers are back up by a goal. Along the far side, Jackson Blake looks out front, then Ekblad the takeaway, feeds it on for Luostarinen, and 2-on-1 now with Lundell. Luostarinen, right circle, shot, save, rebound, they score! Anton Lundell, a shorthanded goal, and the Panthers take a 5-3 lead. Lose possession, but it's poked away by Mikkel at the last second. Now the Panthers do regather, fed on by Rodriguez, down to our right, an empty net try, and they score, and it's Sam Bennett. He's going to put this one away with 6.5 seconds to go here in the third period. 6-3, the Panthers in front of the Carolina Hurricanes, and that'll send everyone to the exits here in Raleigh. A Sam Bennett empty net goal is going to put this one out of reach in favor of the Panthers. And Orlov will take over for Carolina, chips it along. That's it for this one. The final seconds tick away. The final horn sounds, and the Panthers come into Raleigh and get a 6-3 win over the Carolina Hurricanes. Back-to-back wins over Eastern Conference heavyweights for the Panthers. A 6-3 win, 3 third-period goals to propel the Panthers to the victory this afternoon. And Sergei Bobrovsky gets career win number 407, tying in with Glenn Hall for 11th on the NHL's all-time goaltending wins list. A big win over a big-time opponent here this afternoon in the front end of a back-to-back. Panthers 6 and the Hurricanes 3.
Well, you heard it there. Another milestone for Sergei Bobrovsky and the Panthers getting the win to start off this little back-to-back set. That was yesterday in Raleigh. 6-3 was the final score. So what does it all mean? Well, the Panthers a point up on the Toronto Maple Leafs now atop the Atlantic Division standings. The Panthers have played two more games than the Leafs, who were idle yesterday, but the Panthers a point up now on Toronto, and they've won their last two, looking to make it 3 straight wins if they can get another one. Coming up today, quickly, some reaction from yesterday's victory in Raleigh after the game. Carter Verhaeghe of the Panthers and the head coach of the Panthers, Paul Maurice, spoke after the win. Let's get to the sound from the head coach, Paul Maurice, first. Here's Paul Maurice with his reaction postgame following the win.
I know we got a lead here after one, but I liked the big block of the second period, and then pretty solid there in the third. I thought we were right on our decisions to get pucks deep, but there was still some creativity in our game. We were still making plays, and you don't want to just bang the puck out and against this team because their counter game's too good. So I thought we managed the puck well mentally based on the score.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there. Here's Carter Verhaeghe also post-game after the win last night against Carolina.
Yeah, we want to be a good third period team, and I think we liked our game. We just had to stick with it, and all night I feel like we played a full 60 minutes. I got some bounces, and that's the way the game goes, but it was nice to prevail and get the win. I think playing two of the best teams in the conference helps, and some playoff history and stuff like that, and I think that's our challenge this year, getting up for games that, are a little less emotional, I guess, on the road, or it doesn't matter what it is, but I think that's kind of our biggest challenge.
So right there, Carter Verhaeghe of the Panthers post-game after yesterday's win in Raleigh. So now the page turns to another Panthers-Hurricanes matchup. It's going to be today, 4 o'clock, Amerant Bank Arena and Sunrise. It is Panther Conservation Night at Amerant Bank Arena today. Join the Panthers as we raise awareness for the endangered Florida Panther. Get your tickets now. FloridaPanthers.com is where to go. And as you set up your plans for the week, I mentioned the Panthers hitting the road for two quick ones in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia on Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. Well, Tuesday night, come on down to Funky Buddha Brewery in Fort Lauderdale. The Cats take on Pittsburgh. You can enjoy drink specials, giveaways, Panthers hockey, and more. FloridaPanthers.com/CatsOnTap for more information. That's where to go. Coming up later on, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, will stop by to talk all things Panthers with us, look back at the week that was, look ahead, talk about some of the storylines ongoing at this point. But joining us on the other side of the break, going behind enemy lines a little bit, we will get the latest on the Carolina Hurricanes. Mike Maniscalco, their play-by-play broadcaster, is going to stop by on the other side of the break. We'll preview today's matchup, game two of a three-game season series, game two of a home-and-home back-to-back, the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes today at 4. We'll get the opposing perspective coming up on the other side. With Dan Day on the other side of the glass, I'm Doug Plagans. This is the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and right in the middle of a back-to-back set, Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday in Raleigh. They'll do it all over again today, only in Sunrise. Going to be a 4 o'clock face-off at Amerant Bank Arena, 3:30 Panthers preview across the radio network, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. It is Panther Conservation Night today at Amerant Bank Arena. We'll raise awareness for the endangered Florida Panther. And then I mentioned after that, Panthers going on the road for a couple. Starts Tuesday night in Pittsburgh, and there will be a watch party out at Funky Buddha Brewery in Fort Lauderdale. Cats take on the Penguins. Drink specials, giveaways, Panthers hockey, and more. FloridaPanthers.com/CatsOnTap for more information. Coming up in our next segment, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com will stop by to talk all things Panthers. But joining me this segment, going behind enemy lines a little bit, but he's a friend, Mike Maniscalco, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, kind enough to stop by on a Saturday morning. Mike, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for taking the time for us here today on Panthers Insider, where you've been a friend of the program over the years.
Doug, anytime. I'm doing well. Good to be here in South Florida, where it's slightly warmer than Raleigh, North Carolina. So good to be here and looking forward to it. And I don't know about you, I kind of love back-to-backs. It feels like cheating on a test because we have all of our homework already done from the night before.
Very good point there. Absolutely. The game prep time goes down significantly when you see a team consecutive games or even consecutive days in this case. But, Mike, the two teams played yesterday. They're two teams that are no strangers to each other. And I guess first things first, I know the Panthers got the win yesterday, but this matchup, even though some of the names have changed, I know when the Panthers have played Toronto, when they've played Vegas, when they've played the Rangers, teams they have a playoff history against, it feels like there's a little extra juice. And as I was saying, even though some of the names have changed, a couple of seasons ago, these two teams met in the playoffs. Does it still feel like there's some extra jam, some extra juice when the Panthers and the Hurricanes meet? It felt that way inside Lenovo Center yesterday.
No, absolutely. And I think for me, from the Canes' perspective on this one, Doug, is it's the Panthers are the team that's standing in the Canes' way of being what they want to be, which is the Stanley Cup champs. So if you want to be the best team in the league, you've got to go through Florida. And I really believe now in today's NHL, the rivalry and the juice gets amped up with playoff series. So Canes fans haven't forgotten that Eastern Conference final from a few years ago where I know it was a four-game sweep, but you called the games, I called the games. They were really coin flip games, all four of them, that you can get to. So Canes fans kind of feel like there's something missing. And yes, then some of the names have changed, but for the most part, the core players are still there. And I think that's why when you look at this matchup, it's not just one of 82. It's really not. There's a lot more to it when these two teams hit the ice.
Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, kind enough to stop by here on a Saturday morning. And Mike, just looking at it from the wide-angle lens, if you will, Carolina off to another really nice start to the season. If we had to ask you for a few bullet points, and I know these two teams played yesterday, so we've gone through and analyzed some of the trends and things like that. But what has been the biggest key to Carolina's success once again over the first couple of months of the season is it looks like they've solidified themselves as a cup contender and put themselves into that top tier teams again, no doubt about it.
Well, I'll give you the highlights. One of them is Marty Natchez leading the league in points. So anytime you have somebody that dynamic and you can filter the offense through him, that is a huge help. The special teams have been just that, top 10 in both categories. So if you can get production out of your power play and your penalty kill, can make sure that it shuts down the two-minute tries for the opposition. That's going to put you in a good stead most nights. And then at home, you know, the Canes, they rattled off 9 wins in a row until some team from Florida beat them last night. So those are the three highlights for me as to why the Canes are off to this hot start. It's 16-6-1. But anytime I'm ever asked about the success for the Carolina Hurricanes, Doug, for me, it starts and it ends with one guy, and he'll never take the credit for it, but it's Rod Brindamore and what he demands of the team and the expectations of how they're supposed to play night in, night out. And you watch this team, there is little variance to how this team plays from, and we just talked about, you know, is there a little extra juice when you play the Panthers? Sure there is, but there's not much change with how the Canes play depending on who the opponent is. So I think those are the big keys why the Canes are off to another good start right now.
And a couple of interesting points there, but elaborating on Marty Natchez, did you see this coming? I mean, he's a guy that was a first-round pick and has always been an impact player, but it seems this year things have just gone to new heights for him. Is it a newfound level of confidence? Is it something that you saw building as you get to see him play every night?
Well, you know, the talent was always there, but the consistency wasn't, Doug. And I think for me with Marty Natchez this year, the confidence comes from the consistency, you know, that he knows he can make these plays now, that they're there for him. And I think that one of the things that's come to the forefront this year, he is an underrated passer, and now he has his hockey IQ has grown every year in the league. Now he knows what to do with the puck, and he's so smart that he understands that if he puts something on film, the other team is going to watch this. And now he's got options, and that's really been highlighted on the power play where he's got 17 points, 12 assists, and 5 goals. But for me, it's two C's. It's confidence and consistency. And whichever one you want to put first would be the key. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that I saw Marty Natchez leading the league in scoring through the quarter mark of the season. But I could tell you that to be one of the top 10 players in points, to have the skill set that he has, that should come as no surprise. It was just, could he ever put it all together? And this year, he really, truly has. Again, it's still early, still a long way to go, but if he can keep this up for the rest of the season, the Canes will be in really good shape.
Mike Maniscalco, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, kind enough to stop by here on a Saturday morning on Panthers Insider. And Mike, of course, has been a friend of the program over the years. Mike, if we were to take it beyond Marty Natchez, is there somebody on this Carolina team, maybe outside of the household names, who's been in particular a really pleasant, whether it be a surprise or somebody whose success is maybe flown a bit under the radar because of what some of the other guys are doing this year? Is there somebody, maybe an underlying guy, who's made a particularly big impact this season in your mind?
Well, let me go to the defense first and give you a duo. And Jalen Chatfield and Dmitri Orlov, they were asked to take on a bigger role with Brett Pesce and Brady Shea leaving via free agency in the offseason. And they've stepped into picking up those extra minutes. You know, they went from about 16, 17 minutes a night to now they're at 18, 19 minutes a night. And, you know, for the person listening in who's not huge into the world of the NHL, that doesn't seem like much, but it really truly is over the course of a season. And what Orlov and Chatfield have done is that pairing. Orlov, up until a few days ago, was a ridiculous plus 21. They were together a combined plus 37. They've taken a couple of dashes here and there to move down, but that pairing is one. And then if you want to go to individuals, I don't think anybody saw Jackson Blake making the team this year out of camp, their rookie, and then having seven goals as we get to this point. So those are the surprises, the really positive surprises for the Carolina Hurricanes this year. With, I don't think anybody saw this or had it on the radar, but it's a big hand into why this team is one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference.
And, Mike, looking at the matchup here today, second end of a back-to-back, I'd expect it to be another spirited one between these two teams. 4 o'clock faceoff, by the way, for anybody looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe still a few tickets available for that one, so you could go over to floridapanthers.com or seatgeek.com, and we'd love to see you out there. But, of course, 4 o'clock is the start time. Lots of different places to consume today's action. Mike, from the Carolina Hurricanes' perspective, if they were going to get a bounce back today, what would be the biggest keys for Carolina going into part two of the back-to-back today?
Well, they have to have better puck possession and puck management than what they had last night. They were, and this is taking nothing away from how Florida played and the really excellent game the Panthers put on the ice. But that was probably one of the worst performances managing the puck that the Canes have had this year. And Florida took advantage of it. That's what good teams do. Special teams, if you get five power plays again, you got to convert on more than one of them. Against a team like Florida, and then the goaltending matchup, which I think you and I will both find out when we get to the rink, who's going to be in the nets for the Carolina Hurricanes, where they've just got to get – you don't have to out-duel Sergei Bobrovsky or if it'll be Spencer Knight today for Florida, but you have to make the big saves when you need to, and that's going to be the big key for me if the Canes are going to split this home and home.
And, Mike, last thing, we talked about a little bit off the air, and again, we'll wait and see who's going to be in net, but I wanted to just get some thoughts from you because we have you. But before his injury, it looked like Pyotr Kochetkov was kind of taking that next step and looking like maybe he was, you know, going to take the ball and run with it for a while with Freddie Anderson out. Did you get the sense that the young netminder looked like he was starting to, you know, become that that guy who can handle the number one role on a night-to-night basis?
He was certainly giving off those vibes, Doug. I mean, with the fact that he's 10-2 and he knows that he has to be the man on most nights, that he has got the crease. It's his. It's not the rotation the way that it would be if Freddie Anderson was healthy. So, the fact that he has been, you know, sidelined with a concussion, I don't think it's going to slow down the development, but because he's still going to have the net when it's his. Because Frederick Anderson is going to be out, at least according to the timeline we have, I believe another 9 to 10 weeks, and that's being modest if we're talking about it coming off of knee surgery. But yeah, he has taken steps this year because this is something that the Canes need to figure out. Do they have a true number one in Pyotr Kochetkov? In the early part of this season has shown, yes, he can be the number one, but again, this is another thing for me. He's never really been the number one in an entire season since he's come over to North America because he's never gotten that opportunity to play a full year down in the AHL, Doug, where they've wanted to give him that opportunity. And when he's been in the NHL, he's had to share the net. So we'll see. And I think, again, I wish I had the definitive answer here, but the early returns have given everybody, if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan, good reason to believe that he can check the box of being the guy that you need him to be in the net.
Yes, it certainly looked like he was trending upward, and wish for him to get back to full health, as he looks like a guy who could be a future star there in net for the Carolina Hurricanes. Mike Maniscalco, kind enough to stop by here on a Saturday morning, taking us behind enemy lines a little bit, if you will, as we preview today's part two of the back-to-back, Panthers and the Hurricanes, coming up at 4 o'clock. Mike, as always, thank you so much for taking the time, and we will see you at the arena this afternoon.
Anytime, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. That's Mike Maniscalco, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. Does an outstanding job night to night covering all the Carolina Hurricanes action. And, the Panthers and the Canes today, 4 o'clock face-off at Amerant Bank Arena. You don't want to miss any of it. So, again, always a fun one when these two teams play. And I know Panthers fans out there, similar to when the Panthers play Tampa Bay or Boston or Toronto. I know a lot of you keep tabs on the arch rival type of teams, and Carolina is in that mix. One of the Panthers' rivals, a team they have a playoff history with. They're always going to play them three times every regular season. And as Mike put it there just a couple of moments ago, a team that, Carolina gets up for these games because they view the Panthers as the team they have to get through to get to where they want to go. The Panthers are the top dog right now, if you will, in the Eastern Conference and the entire National Hockey League. So the Panthers going to get everybody's best. That includes the Carolina Hurricanes night to night. And there's always going to be a bit of a rivalry feel and a little extra energy feel when the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes meet. If you were wondering, this is meeting number two in the three-game season series. The only drawback of a back-to-back is there goes two-thirds or half of your season series, or if it's a Western Conference team, there goes the entire season series. And, as entertaining as these matchups go, you're going to be getting right down to the end of the season series. The Panthers and the Canes play today. They play on January 2nd at Amerant Bank Arena, and then that's it for the season series. So it'll be a few months, and maybe we'll see these two teams meet in the playoffs. We'll have to wait and see down the road. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast going to stop by, and we'll talk all things Florida Panthers. Mike just took us behind enemy lines. Coming up next, we're going to talk all things Panthers with Jameson Olive. Hit on the week that was. Look ahead here. A little road trip coming up, and just talk about some of what we saw yesterday as the Panthers picked up a win in part one of this home-and-home set with the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, with Dan Day on the other side of the glass, Doug Plagans with you. Jameson Olive stops by next. One more segment to go here on Panthers Insider. It's the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
So,
time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back here on Panthers Insider. Doug Plagans with you again, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey on a Saturday morning. It's the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes this afternoon at 4:30. We're on the air with Panthers Preview, and that would mean sometime around maybe 5:30 or so, this man will join us after two periods like he always does. He joins us after 40 in every Panthers broadcast, so I figured we'd bring him on 40 minutes past the hour here on Panthers Insider. Again, Doug Plagans with you, Dan Day on the other side of the glass, and Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast, kind enough to stop by here. Jameson, I'm not going to ask you to spill the beans first, but before we get to the action on the ice, did you knock off some holiday shopping yesterday with all the deals going on?
I got nothing done. I'm not really a Black Friday guy anymore. I'm just an Amazon guy throughout the year type thing. I really don't find deals anymore. I don't know what happened to Black Friday, but, I mean, the days of, busting through the door at a Best Buy at 7 a.m., I think those days are gone. I don't know. It's sad.
Well, if the Panthers didn't play yesterday, I would have been out at a retailer fighting through the traffic because I like the sport of it. I like the competitive aspect of it. But Jameson, again, he's a shopper throughout the year. You heard it right there. Jameson, the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes today at 4 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. First, just your overall feel, and I know you stopped by after the second period last night, as you always do, but it was a 3-3 game when you stopped by last night after two. Panthers had a really nice third period. What were your takeaways from how the Panthers finished last night's game, and what do you want to see brought into this one today?
I love how they finished the game. It was their best period of the night. We talked about it on After 40, but yes, the score was tied, but the Hurricanes had the edge and a lot of important numbers. The Panthers only had 3 high-danger shot attempts. They weren't really getting to the net. You know, you flash forward to the third period, they get 6 high-danger shot attempts, giving up nothing in their own end. So a really great, strong finish for the Cats. You know, they got the goals they needed. They got the saves they needed. So I think that's a period you can build off of. I think, you know, that could lead into a good start here this afternoon in this rematch against the Hurricanes. So overall, I mean, you look at what the Panthers have been through. You look at that 7-game winning streak going into that little slump, coming out of it now with wins against Toronto and Carolina. And you know, after all said and done and after everything, I know they played a couple more games than a couple teams, but they're still in first place in the Atlantic Division. So they weathered the storm, but you knew they'd get up for these big games as they always do. Now it's just about doing that same thing here again this afternoon in this rematch with the Canes.
Jameson, I talked to Paul Maurice before the game yesterday, specifically in regards to Sam Reinhart and what he's been able to do scoring shorthanded goals. Yesterday, Anton Lundell scores a shorthanded goal. To put it in perspective, at this point in the season, the Panthers lead the NHL with 7 shorthanded goals. There are a couple of teams in the National Hockey League that only have 8 power play goals. So what the Panthers have done so far through the first 24 games of the season, I mean, this is teetering on historic type of numbers, the way they're putting the puck in the net shorthanded. Where do you think it all comes from, Jameson? It sounded like, in regards to Sam Reinhart, Paul Maurice credited the hockey IQ that Sam has quite a bit. But where do you think all the offense comes from shorthanded? Is it a product of the chemistry? Is it a product of just how smart these penalty killers are, knowing exactly when to maybe take that chance? Paul Maurice said, especially in regards to Sam Reinhart, there's no cheating for offense whatsoever. These are chances generated by his hockey sense.
Yeah, no, it's just been incredible. And obviously they were a good shorthanded team last year, just both in terms of the penalty kill and just the amount of shorthand of the goals they have, but it's been on another level this year. And you mentioned chemistry, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I remember I talked to Sam Reinhart after the last home game that went over Toronto, just kind of about, you know, when you get that feel, when you get that itch to know you can go the other way and get a chance. And he said it really does come down to feel. It comes down to, you know, what Barkey's doing, how he's feeling. And, you know, that pair has obviously been killing penalties together for a while. And then you go to the other duo, and Anton Lundell and that two of Sturainen, and, you know, Lucey spent a lot of time killing with Kevin Stenlund last year, but him and Anton have been on a line together for so long, their chemistry is great. So I think both guys on both, you know, PK units, other guys kill penalties too as well, but that's kind of the top four, I think, are right there, and I think of the Panthers' PK forwards. But both those pairs just have such a good feel of each other, such a good knack, such good hockey IQs to know when they can make that move. Because so many times if you're watching a game and you see a shorthanded goal scored, it's usually a breakaway. It's usually something that bad happens to the blue line and a guy goes the other way and scores a breakaway. But for the Panthers, it's been so many 2-on-1s, you know, 3-on-2s sometimes. So they're getting odd man rushes because usually something's happened to the blue line. Defensively, they're so good up there. And then both guys go. It's not just one guy going for it trying to make a play. Both guys know when to go, and that's why I think they've been so effective.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here with us on Panthers Insider. Still a couple of minutes to go here with Jameson. And Jameson, a guy that maybe we don't talk about enough, A.J. Greer. And you look at examples in the playoffs. A lot of times when big goals are scored in the playoffs, they can come from all different sources. A.J. Greer has 3 goals this season, 2 of them game-winning goals that were scored in the third period. Remember, last night's goal put the Panthers up 4-3 in that game in the third period. You think back to one of the games in Finland, game 2 in Finland against Dallas. He scores a third-period goal right off a faceoff that winds up being the go-ahead goal and the eventual game winner in the Panthers' favor. What can you say about the way that he's been able to fit in? And he's the kind of guy, Jameson, that come playoff time, you think about players like A.J. Greer who come up with those big goals at big times. He's doing it here in the regular season.
He's been great. And obviously, you know, coming into this season, one of the biggest changes for the Panthers was a completely new fourth line. So you got A.J. Greer, you got Tomasz Nosek, Jonah Gadjevich is one of the returning guys. And, of course, you've had Jesper Boqvist play there a bit, Mackie Samuskevich play there a bit. So a couple of guys kind of rotating in and out of that fourth line. But A.J. Greer has been one of those really consistent pieces of that line. And like you said, yes, he scored some goals, but also it's the physicality he brings. You know, he's always out there mixing it up. He's gotten a couple fights so far. He throws big hits. He's always talking, you know, both on the bench and also, you know, on the ice against the opponent. So he helps kind of keep that edge for the Panthers just in terms of the game he plays. But in terms of those goals, you know, going back to that one in Dallas, that game win, that was an offensive zone draw in a big moment that Paul Maurice puts his fourth line out there for. So it also comes down to the trust of that fourth line, and Paul Maurice has a lot of trust in that line no matter who's on it. But Greer in particular, like you said, he's just been coming up in the clutch, coming up big. And another guy that, you know, you go back a couple of years, you look at the guys that get multi-year deals from the Panthers. A lot of guys are on one-year deals this year. He's got a two-year deal, so he's kind of building something here a little bit with the Cats, a guy you can look forward to not only this year but also next year.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here. We talked about him the other day on After 40, I believe on Wednesday night. But I know a lot of Panthers fans keeping an eye on Mackie Samuskevich on a game-to-game basis. And even during those few games when the Panthers weren't getting the results as a team that they wanted, it seemed like Mackie's game consistently has been trending upward for our Panthers Insider Show audience. And now a couple of games since the last time we talked about him, Jameson, the biggest things you've noticed, because it seems like game to game, his comfort level, his confidence at the NHL level, it's been increasing consistently. And every night you see that giddy up, the motor, the speed that he's got, it seems to really shine through. And it's allowed him to fit in with a lot of different line mates this season in different situations.
Yeah, on that, I love how they're using him. Obviously, they're playing him quite a bit on the third line, but also on the fourth line, he's seen a lot of time this year. So he's learning different ways to play the game and different things he needs to do, because coming out of college, coming out of Michigan, and then also, you know, that great season he had in the AHL last year, we know he can fly, we know he has hands, we know he has that shot. So now it's just kind of getting used to that NHL style of play, where a lot of what I watch when I'm watching Mackie Samuskevich now is just when he's going after a puck along the boards, how's he getting it out of there? How's he using his body to protect it? You know, how is he, you know, what kind of reads is he making? Is he finding his teammates? Just those little smart plays, and I think that's what's kind of getting better every game, and that's why overall he just looks better every single game, is because all those little things he's doing so much better now, and that results in big plays and big moments. He's got a couple big goals here lately. So he's a guy that I think is just getting better every single time he touches the puck, maybe every shift, and that's really exciting for the Panthers. And yes, he's kind of, you know, a former first-round pick, but I feel like there's not a lot of fanfare just because the Panthers don't need to ask a ton of him. He's a former first-round pick that's coming into a situation where he doesn't need to be the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth best forward on the team. He gets to just kind of grow and develop his own game in that bottom six. And he had such a good game against the Toronto Maple Leafs the other day that I think now kind of maybe the cat's out of the bag a little bit. You hear more people talking about him now. Elliot Friedman, you know, that one of the premier insiders in the NHL, was talking about him on his podcast the other day, saying, you know, I just saw this kid play a full game for the first time, and I really like this kid. So it's not just us talking about him now. You know, nationally, he's getting some love, but he's a guy that's only, you know, 21 years old still. He's a part of the future here as well as the present.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here with us. Jameson, thanks for stopping by as always, and we will see you at the arena this afternoon.
I'll see you there, Doug. Thanks.
Jameson Olive, big thanks to him for stopping by. And that takes us to the end of the program here today. Thanks to Jameson Olive. Thanks to Mike Maniscalco before him for joining us to preview today's matchup. Again, Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes today. It's going to be a 4 o'clock faceoff at Amerant Bank Arena. 3:30 pregame across the radio network and on the Panthers app. Lots of different places to listen. Miami-Dade, Broward County listeners, we're over on 104.3 The Shark this afternoon. But you can take all the guesswork out of it wherever you are in North America. Go to the Panthers app, hit the radio button, top right corner. You'll get us every single game. That's it for us here on this edition of Panthers Insider. Big thanks to Dan Day on the other side of the glass for a job well done. Again, thanks to Mike Maniscalco and Jameson Olive for stopping by, and a big thanks to all of you for tuning in. 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock today, Panthers and the Canes, and you can catch all of that same place you caught Panthers Insider. Again, folks, I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.